the Lord. Amen. Trust we've come to glorify Him tonight. Amen. Every way that we can, in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, musicians. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Philip, for jumping in. Amen. Appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Jude for jumping in. Amen. Nice to be blessed with so many gifts in the body, amen. Just have the Lord raising people up as needed, amen. Trust Him for everything, is that right? Amen. It shows how much he is in control. Amen. You glad to be here tonight? Amen. Good to see our young people up here at the front. Amen. Yeah. Good to see our old people at the back. No. But good to see all of you here tonight. Amen. Certainly appreciate the opportunity to come and just worship the Lord together. I just would, before we get started here, just ask for your prayers. Brother Doug mentioned this morning that many be traveling. Well, we're part of that group. We'll be traveling tomorrow, going out to North Carolina to visit with Hannah and her in-laws out there. So we just ask that you just remember us in prayer. Amen. And I'm sure we'll be ministering out there. Well, will be. I'm scheduled to be. So just pray for me as well. But we'll be leaving to get on a plane here in a few hours. So we probably won't get much sleep tonight, but yeah, that's okay. Amen. We're thankful. Amen. We're thankful for the opportunity. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Let's just bow our heads as we just change the order of the service here tonight. Father, we're just so thankful once again to be able to come, Father, and Lord, to worship You, Lord, not only with songs, Lord, and thanksgiving, the praise of our lips, Lord, the sacrifice of praise, but Lord, also in truth, Lord. As we submit ourselves to Your Word, we acknowledge that Your Word is the final, absolute, the final word on the matter. It's Your thought, Lord. Written on a page to us. And Lord, we want to worship You as You are, Lord. And for who You are in Your truth, Lord. And tonight we've set this service aside, Father, for our youth, Lord. And Lord, we're just desiring, Lord, that You would speak to them. Lord, You put it on our pastor's heart to do this in a special way, to set this aside for that purpose, Father. Because You have a purpose behind it. So, Lord, we're just looking to You to move right in the channel where You want to move. Just how You want to speak, Lord, to Your people. How You want to deal with the young people, Father, in this church. And, Lord, we're all connected to them, Lord, in some way, Father. They're not a separate group, Lord. They're part of us, part of this body. So, Lord, even as You deal with them, You deal with all of us, Lord. And so we're just looking to You, Father. We need You more than ever, Lord. And we just ask that You would have Your way tonight, Lord, as we just surrender to You, Lord, and we look to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just turn in the scripture to Matthew chapter 5. Just have a little thought here this evening that may tie in quite nicely with what Brother Doug was bringing this morning. In fact, Brother Doug, as you were preaching, you know, me sitting there knowing what was in my notes back at home, we've been in that position before where you're just thinking, don't go too far down that road. Just right there, that's good enough. Perhaps you'll see what I mean in a moment here, but we do have a little, I do have a thought that the Lord put on my heart a few weeks ago about this, so we just want to bring that to you tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. So when he speaks about salt, understand that salt is a preservative, but the whole purpose of salt was that it was going to contact something else. The salt wasn't, it wasn't for the salt itself. It was for something else that it was touching and having an effect on. Amen? And so he continues, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Again, the light is not for itself. The light is for others. Right? He says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. We want to speak tonight on influence. Amen. You can be seated tonight if you'd like. If you don't want to, you can stand. That's fine. Amen. Amen. So we want to talk about influence. And influence, it is spoken about a lot in the Scripture. And that's because it is one of the most powerful forces that we encounter as human beings. Believe it or not. Some kind of influence. Things influence us. People influence us. And we want to look at how we can influence others. So it's not just us being influenced, but it's us being the light, being the influence. Amen? So the idea or the concept of influence, that word goes way back in time in history when men believed that it was like, they called it a fluid that flowed out of heaven. Now this sounds a little strange, right? They believed that there was something unseen, a fluid that flowed out of heaven and it came down to the earth and affected the people of the earth. And so they called that influence. In fact, that's the word where the word influenza comes from. You didn't know that? Because they thought that sickness came from the stars. And so they called that influence, and then the sickness they called influenza. But really what influence means to us, it just means the power to change or affect someone or something. And it's especially without directly touching them or directly contacting them. Amen? It's an unseen, almost an indirect force. But it applies to everybody. Sure. Amen? It's something that we all experience. Causing change without applying a direct force. Now, they teach us in different business type scenarios, they teach you that you have different spheres. You have three different spheres, they call it. One is the sphere of concern, so what you care about, right? And then there's the sphere of control, what you can control. And in between, there's a sphere of influence. And the sphere of influence is bigger than the sphere of control. It goes out beyond what you can directly control. Amen? You can control what you do and what you say, and you can... These are tangible things. You control your actions. But influence goes beyond that. You can influence someone without realizing it. And they can be influenced without realizing they're being influenced. So it's very powerful. And we know that spirits work in this way. Spirits work to influence humans, people. Amen? And the influence of from the spirit realm oftentimes is what drives people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. That they don't even know why they're doing it. But there's an influence that's being exerted on them. Is that right? So it's something that's part of our human experience, and it's dealt with extensively in the Scripture. We're going to read a lot of Bible verses tonight. I hope that's okay. Amen? Because we need to be aware of this. We need to understand what's trying to influence us. Amen. And the more that we're aware of something that's trying to influence us, then we can decide whether we want to be influenced or not. whether we're going to give in to that. Amen. Or whether we're going to choose something else. So we'll go into that a little bit deeper tonight. So the thing is that this is dealing with our thoughts. What we think about things. What we want to do. What we desire. The things that we hunger and thirst for. Those become our actions. And so the influence works on that. Everything starts with a thought. Right? Now, you'll find that, in the message and in the Bible, there's a word called sway. And that's not a word maybe that we use a lot now in our modern, language. But actually, it's in some of the older songs that we sing. You think of the, what is the song? Hold o'er my being, absolute sway. Amen. What does that mean? Sway. Well, you can sway a person means to push them, nudge them even, in a certain direction. You're not telling them, go do that. You're just kind of nudging them, right? Swaying them. Persuading them. Amen? Isn't that what the devil is about? Amen? Isn't that what he did in the Garden of Eden? Where he just said, well, God said that, sure, but maybe he didn't tell you the whole story, right? And it's just, he tried to sway the thinking. Amen? And the way that you sway, that's the direction you end up going. And let's just start off by just upfront saying that we want to be influenced by the Bible. Amen? Amen? We want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And if we allow Him to, God will influence our lives through His Scripture and through His Spirit, through His Word, through the preaching of His Word. Amen? Through His methods, He will influence us if we allow it. But because we're the decider, we get to choose. We can cut off His influence by pushing it away. Right? So, we're influenced every day by the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we watch, the things that we're listening to, the things that we're putting our eyes upon. That's why, our prophet said, read your Bible and pray every day. Why? Because that allows God the opportunity to influence you. If you don't give Him that opportunity, how is His Word going to influence you if you never hear His Word? You're never reading His Word or hearing it. That's how He influences us. Amen? And we want His influence. I do. Amen? I believe His influence is better than anything that the world can offer us. We're being influenced all the time. All the time, whether we realize it or not. So there's a couple of stories that we want to look at in the scripture tonight to help us understand this a little bit better. The first is found in the book of 2 Chronicles, and this is the story of King Uzziah. Maybe you're familiar with that story, right? So in 2 Chronicles 20, the 26th chapter, King Uzziah, he became king when he was 16 years old. All right? So he was right around a lot of your guys' age. 16 years old. His father dies, and he becomes king. Now, that's a lot to put on a teenager. Man, I'm glad he wasn't an American teenager. Right? Just take an American teenager off. Go out and take any teenager off the street. Hey, man, you're king. Guess what? I believe some of our young people could do a good job, but amen. But he was 16 years old when his father died. Now, he had been watching his father up to that point. And his father was a man of God. His father was one of those, how the scripture says, and so did right in the sight of God. right? And it goes through the kings. And so-and-so did evil in the sight of God. This was one of those that did right in the sight of God. His father was King Azariah. He did right, well, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And so he had been watching his father as he's growing up these 16 years. And so his father's life had an influence on him. Amen? Amen? So when it came to be his turn, he's just a teenager. And he's not sure which way to what to do, which way to go. He naturally followed in the path that had already been set for him by his father. His father's life was such a testimony and an influence on him that he just continued serving the Lord, just very naturally, just fell right into line with it. And that's what we want, isn't it, for our young people? Amen. We want our young people, our children, when they're raised up, they to go to church and to naturally follow right in that path. And so he was 16. Let's read it here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, just the fourth verse. It said, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did." Just one little line there that has such power behind it. Because he was a teenager and there were lots of outside voices. Lots of men that had gone before him and would come after him had fallen to temptations of the nations of the world that were on the outside that were trying to come in and influence. But he said, "No, I'm going to follow in my father's footsteps." Notice it says specifically in the Bible, according to all that his father had did. Amen. Attributing the influence of his father to his success in following the Lord. Amen. So maybe that's a message for our parents, not so much as our kids. Amen. Amen. That we have an influence. That we have a testimony. That we have a responsibility to be a role model. Amen. But then it falls on the next generation to look at that and receive it. And walk in it and continue it. This is a great example of a parent influencing their children. And the next generation seeing the example and following in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham tells us a story one time about a man that went to war. And he was in, I don't remember which war it was, I think maybe it was World War I. But anyway, he was in the war and he was wounded and he was dying. And the medic or the corpsman was there and he was dying, and I think he called for a priest. Just going to paraphrase it if that's okay, don't have the quote. But he called for the priest and he was speaking to him about his soul. The man was dying. And he had left off following Jesus. And he asked him, "How do I find him again?" And the priest or the chaplain or whatever it was, he said, "You just find him where you left him." Amen. And he began to think and think and think, and he goes all the way back and he begins to recite a little child's prayer and poem. He says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And he died. But he had to go all the way back. Notice where he went. He went back to a time in his childhood where he has been influenced by a parent. Amen? The only reason he would have been reciting that probably is because his mother taught it to him or his father taught it to him. His parents taught him about the Lord. And at some point, he strayed away from that. He left the influence of his parents. He rejected it and went his own way. But when it came down to the last dying breaths of his life, He came all the way back to that point where he was influenced by his parents. He returned back under that influence. Think about that. That is the power of what his parents gave him. Even though his whole life he strayed from it, he came back to it. Oh, hallelujah. A child's prayer influenced by his parent. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Will not depart from it. That is the influence, amen, of a godly parent. And Brother Brown says this in the influence of another. He says, you know what I think? Everybody has their own opinion, but one of the greatest, and in my opinion, the greatest president that we ever had in this nation was Abraham Lincoln. Now, not because he was a Republican, but because he was what he was, a godly man. And he was raised to serve God. Abraham Lincoln was raised to serve God. And he said, if there's anything that I want to give praise to, he said, or my life was influenced by, he said, it was a godly mother who taught me to pray and to know Jesus as my Savior. He says, your family is what you are. You raise your child a certain environment, it's got a 98% better chance to go right than if you had brought it up in the wrong way. 98%. That's the power of the influence of parents. Amen? He says, and then he quotes that scripture, bring up a child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it will not depart from it. He be brought up right. Teach your children to do right, to be honest, to be square and fair, even when they're in school. Amen. So, as parents, amen, we are the biggest influence on our children. I just lost my my grandfather passed away this last week. He was 100 years old, and he was raised Catholic. So, you know, he kind of did the whole thing growing up where, I think he was like the altar boy or something like that. And, you know, in the Catholic system, they go through many things, right, where they have to memorize things. And there's a whole program that they go through. And then when he, grew up and got on his own as a teenager, a young adult, he went on his own way. I don't know if he ever really went to church after that. So, last year, he was 99 at this time, last year. So, last year, I was speaking to him, and he was telling me about how, he was telling me about things in his life that he was sorry for, and he regretted, and he was repenting, right? He knew that he had done things wrong, and he started to tell me that he was thinking about when he was a boy, and he was thinking about God. And he was thinking about the things in the church that he learned. And he was wanting to get back to God. And that was where he left him. It's just like the man, the soldier that died. That was where he last left God. And he was coming back to that point. And he was telling me, and he was asking me about it because I could tell he wanted that. And so he was asking me, do I need to go back to the Catholic Church and start doing, what do I do, right? And I just told him about the Lord, and we talked about just faith in Jesus, right? Amen. But here he is, 99. And my cousin shared with me just the other day that they had overheard him in his bedroom because he had trouble hearing and he couldn't see at the end, and so he didn't know when people are around necessarily. And they overheard him when they put him to bed, laying in his bed, crying out the Lord's Prayer and praying for his family. Well, where did he learn the Lord's Prayer? I didn't teach him that. By that time, he really couldn't read much. I had shared some scripture with him, but I didn't share that one with him. But he remembered it. He remembered it from when he was a boy. 80 years ago. 80-something years ago. But it was there. It stuck. And he came back to that original influence. It had such a holding influential power that even all those years out serving the devil, and he came back to that place. And he had a faithful mother that was faithful to the Catholic Church to some level, right? That took him to church and taught him about God. So, parents are the biggest influence. And this is where I was, you know, as Brother Doug was preaching this morning about reverencing your parents. Amen? Respecting your parents. What God says about obeying your parents and the commandment of God and how it will give you long life. Well, he lived to be 100. So he must have done that too. And I know he did. Amen? But what happens so many times, young men, young women, as you come up, you're being raised by godly parents, and man, the thing is that your parents are smart, right? They know so much about life, and they're teaching you this, and they're teaching you that, and you're just soaking it up, and they're teaching you, and then suddenly you get to be like 12, 13, right? A teenager, and suddenly they become stupid. Right? They don't know nothing. They become fossils and, you know, old-fashioned, and they don't know anything about the world. And it's your friends that know everything about the world. Well, then you'll find out. You haven't got there yet, but you'll find out in a few years, you'll go on a little bit, and suddenly they'll get smart again. It's amazing how that happens. Like, it'll just click and they'll be intelligent again. Of course, I'm joking, right? But that's how something happens. Right. What's happening is you're coming up under the influence of your parents. Yeah. And then you're getting to a place where you're coming to the age of accountability. Right. And now the influences of the world are being flooded upon you. Right. Because the enemy is vying for your soul. It's no coincidence that the age of accountability is right around that same time. Yep. Amen? Because the enemy comes in like a flood to try and steal away the influence that your parents tried to heap upon you to serve God and to go in the way that's right. And he tries to show you a quote-unquote better way. Amen? So that's why to respect your parents, it's a good thing. Yes, it'll be a blessing to you. Yes, sir. Amen. Let's look at 2 Chronicles, the next verse, 26:5. So Uzziah, his father, he followed in the way of his father and he was blessed. But it says here, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, he was blessed. God made him to prosper. These are sure promises. Amen? Amen. Serving God is the best way. As long as he sought the Lord. So it says he sought God in the days of Zechariah. So we see now Zechariah moving into the picture. Zechariah is a prophet. His father is gone. He's just a teenager. Zechariah comes in as a mentor. Amen? He comes in as a role model to help him. He was a prophet and he could help him know what the will of God is. He wanted to do the will of God, but he didn't have enough wisdom all the time to know what the will of God is. To know what the best thing is. And young people, that's why God has given you parents. That's why God has given you a pastor. That's why God has given you these things. So that you don't have to figure it all out on your own. Amen? You can go to these ones that God has placed in your life. and find out what is the will of God. And let that be the main thing that influences you. So Uzziah lost his father, but he had a mentor in Zechariah. And he allowed Zechariah to be an influence over him. Amen. Do you see that theme here? He chose and he allowed Zechariah. He didn't have to. He could have told Zechariah, you know, nope, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. But he allowed him to be a positive influence for him, a godly influence to help him. We need godly men and women like that. Amen. We need godly men and women to be an influence over this generation. Amen. People that are willing to pray. People that are willing to intercede. People that are willing to help. Amen. To be a role model. To encourage. To instruct. Amen. But you must receive it. You must receive it. Because teenagers, young people, you've got a hard battle. Amen. They've got a hard battle, brother, sister. Uzziah was influenced first by his father and then Zechariah, but then he influenced others in turn. Right. We're taught that Isaiah the prophet was... So if we look at like Jewish tradition and some of the writings of the Jewish historians, they tell us that Isaiah and Uzziah were actually cousins. They were first cousins. And Isaiah, I think, was just a little bit younger than Uzziah, but they were pretty close. And Brother Branham tells us about that as well. So Isaiah looked up to Uzziah. He was like a cousin that was pretty close, you know, like a little older cousin. You know how the older cousin or older brother or sister, you look up to them. Amen. Amen. You, when you're young, you kind of mimic them and want to do what they do. Anything they're interested in, you want to do that. Amen. I didn't have any brothers or sisters, but I had cousins like that. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. What an influence. Sure. They had an opportunity to be an influential part of my life. Amen. And Uzziah was that to Isaiah. And we see that Isaiah looked to him a little bit like a hero. He looked up to him. And he saw Uzziah, a young man, serving God from his youth. And pressing on and going on with God, making hard decisions, but staying that path. Right. Amen. Amen? And Isaiah sees that, and he goes, man, that's what I want to do. Yes. That's what I aspire to be. Amen. Amen. What an influence that Uzziah had. Maybe he didn't even really know how much of an influence he had. But here's this younger one looking up at him going, man, he's like the coolest cousin, right? I mean, he's the king. That's cool too. But he's serving God. He saw him being blessed. He saw God giving him wisdom. Amen? If you're the older cousin, you better pay attention. You got younger brothers and sisters, younger cousins that look up to you. You may not even know it, but you never know who's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention. And they might just follow exactly in your footsteps. So look at this here in the influence of another. This is paragraph 30. He says, so this young king, being influenced by his father when he was a young man, and taught Israel the precepts of God. And then all at once he turned in his last days and taught against God. And his own people, he was slain by his own people. So he's talking about Amaziah, Uzziah's father. He backslid at the end of his life. It looked like that would have been a great lesson to Uzziah about this. But we find out that when Uzziah taken the throne, that he started right in the way his daddy did, bringing back the things of God. Bringing Israel back to the worship of God. He strengthened himself. And I want to always be thankful for him in his young days because he never played any politics. Although politics might have been against him, but yet he stayed right in the line of God. And it thrilled this little young prophet so, he's speaking about Isaiah, till he became a hero. He was an example to Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah went to the castle to stay with him, to the king's place, and he called him in, and he liked Isaiah, and Isaiah was young also, and they were chums together. And how that king, when he would go out there, and some of the men of politics would come and say, we must do so and so. King Uzziah first sought the Lord. What a good example. The Lord said, Lord, is it your will that we do thus and thus? And God, give us a president like that. Not only that, but give us preachers. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. This must have been a great influence, because Isaiah loved him. Because he seen that he was a great man, and he stayed firm and solid for God. And you know, each time in the days that we live, in the things that we do, remember, the public don't only look at the pastor, the way he lives, but they also look to the laity. There are people watching you. There are people looking to see how you live your life. They're going to be influenced by the way that you live. Amen. That light on a hill. Amen. You have the opportunity and power to influence people for the kingdom of God's sake. Think about that. That's powerful. Amen. Amen. What an influence a young person can have on another young person, though. Amen. He became his hero. He became somebody that he looked up to. And Isaiah, seeing that, became one of the just a consecrated prophet. A man that stood against unimaginable hardship and persecution. And he stood in the face of other kings. Amen? Other men that lifted themselves up. He stood against political powers. He stood for years as the only one standing because of that early influence that set him on that path. Amen? We call that influence peer influence. Right? Because they were about the same age, they were peers. And it had a powerful influence on Isaiah. Let's look here at Chronicles chapter 26. Now we see that Uzziah, later in life, follows the path of his father again. His father served God. Late in life, he backslid. And Uzziah repeats the pattern. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So he wasn't supposed to do that. He was the king. He was not a priest. Only the priests were supposed to do that. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. 80 other priests. They're trying to chase him down and stop him. And they were valiant men. These weren't little weaklings. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Now the king could have just said, off with their head. They were doing this at peril to their own lives. But they knew God's law. That was their first concern. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. You don't belong here, in other words. This is not your role. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. He broke out with leprosy. Sorry, I skipped one. Then Uzziah was wroth, verse 19, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked on him, and behold, he was leprous from his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out. He was ready to leave then. because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So he went in and took, he did and assumed a position that didn't belong to him. He was lifted up with pride, and he backslid. Okay? But this story isn't just necessarily about Uzziah. This is about Isaiah, because this is his hero. Amen? This is the one Isaiah, as a boy, looked up to. Amen? This is the one that he had held up as a standard, as someone that influenced him early in his life to serve God. And so, as the story is written, Isaiah saw his idol fall away, and he turned his back on God and stopped serving God and backs. You didn't stop me. That's not how it goes. Amen? Isaiah didn't let that hinder him. Amen? There's a difference, in other words, from looking upon a man or a person and putting them on a pedestal and tying your experience and your salvation, and I'm only going to serve God as they're serving God, and when they fall, my faith is shaken, and right, and people get into that mold. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about influence. And he, now listen, because you allow influence. So he allowed that man to influence him for the positive. But when he became a negative influence, he didn't let that change him. He didn't let that sway him. He didn't let him stop him. Isaiah went on and served God. He continued to do what God called him to do. Amen? He didn't let the negative influence, but he allowed the positive influence. Brother, sister, we choose to allow the Word of God to influence our lives. When negative influence or other influences come in, we challenge it with the Word of God. We say, is this of God or is this not? Is this positive? Is this negative? And we choose. Am I going to let this be an influence in my life? Would this be pleasing to God? Would this music be pleasing to God? Amen? Would this that I'm about to read be pleasing to God? Is this person that I'm hanging out with? Is this someone that is influencing me toward serving God? Is this somebody who's lifting me up in the things of God, that's helping me serve God and go on with God? Or is this someone who's going to hinder that relationship? Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting deep into it. Amen. So Uzziah breaks the commandments of God, but it doesn't hinder Isaiah. I just want to read this little quote here just to kind of round this thought out. This is the influence of another paragraph 43. Brother Bram has a couple of things to say about it that we just want to catch here. He says, now, we see what he tried to do. What really got him when he lifted up his heart, we're told in the Bible in Chronicles 26, or 2 Chronicles 26. We find out that he went into the temple of the Lord with a censer in his hand to burn incense into the Lord. And when he did, the minister of the temple with 80 other ministers followed him and told him, don't do that, you're wrong, you're not a minister. You are a king, not a minister. And he was wroth, and he flew up, and his temper got away from him, and he lit the censer to go anyway. And God smote leprosy on him right there. And while he was standing there in his anger, and he died a leper. And they had to take him out of the temple. And he says, now that's where we want a lesson. If this man, which God had blessed in his capacity, but he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to take somebody else's place. You can't be nothing, as Congressman Upshaw said. Remember him? The one that was crippled for 68 years and was healed in the meeting out there? You know, he was a congressman of the United States. He said, you can't be nothing that you ain't. He says, that's true. In other words, you got to be who you are. Right? You can't be something that you aren't. It seems like an obvious statement, but there's so many people trying to be something that they aren't. He says, that's true. You've got to stay in your calling where God called you to. Now, as long as he remained king, he was a blessing to the people being a king. But when he thought he was a minister, he thought because God had blessed him, he could be anything he wanted to be. But he was a blessing to the people as a king. He became a curse upon them when he tried to take a minister's place. And we have a lot of that. Everybody wants to pack the ball, you see. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, just a message for all of us, amen, just to be what God called us to be. Because look, the influence, I want to show you that, because even though we can look to others as examples and role models, that doesn't mean that we're to be like them exactly. Right? Isaiah allowed himself to be influenced by the life of the king, but he wasn't a king. He allowed God to use him just the way that God wanted to use him. He was a prophet. He had an entirely different ministry. And so each one of us is different. And we have a different calling. We have a different life that God has predestinated for us. And we want to look to good role models. We want to look to others that will be a good influence on them, but we don't want to mimic them. Amen? You can't be them. You be you. But yet, still be encouraged by them. Amen? Everybody with me tonight. Amen. So, Isaiah didn't let that deter him. It didn't let him change. It didn't change his walk. He was influenced by the good, but didn't allow the bad to sidetrack him. So, this influence that we're talking about, especially between Uzziah and Isaiah, is, I mentioned a little bit ago, is peer influence, right? Peer, P-E-E-R. A peer, someone who's kind of at the same level as you, the same age. Amen? Sometimes the influence is so strong that we call it pressure. Amen? And that's where the term peer pressure comes from. Amen? Anyone here ever experienced peer pressure? Sister Baker's the only one that raised her hand. Anybody here experience peer pressure? Anybody not experience peer pressure? Amen? How could you not? Amen? If you're around anybody that's a peer, eventually you're going to experience it. But it could be verbal or not. Right? I remember being pressured all the time growing up. I remember, you know, it's funny because, you know, when I was growing up, and I suppose they do this now too, and in the schools and things, they would have these anti-drug campaigns and, trying to keep you from alcohol and drugs and, you know, the just say no and all of, you know, those kind of things. And sometimes we had, like, in health class, they would, like, show us, you know, and it's like this stereotypical, like, the guy, hey, kid, you know, want some cocaine or, you know, whatever. And it was, like, super obvious, right? It's like, that guy is not going to, you know, there's no draw there at all, right? Some guy with no teeth and just, like, he looks bad, right? Why would I want that, right? But it's not like that. And I had many people, young people, my peers, pressure, right? There, I remember, look, you young people, I know you may not believe it, but all of us older people, we're young people. Amen? Amen. We all experience peer pressure. We still do. But, you know, I can remember... I remember being pressured. It was the silliest thing for all kinds of things. Cigarettes, chewing tobacco, drinking, marijuana, sex. Yeah. All of those things. Pressured to partake in those things. Amen? And we're kidding ourselves if we think that we're somehow immune to those, to being pressured. That would say, they would even, it could even be without words. It's not like, hey, you really need to do this. It could be just like, hey, we're all doing this. We're all over here doing this. Get the hint? You're the only one that's not. Right? It's not even said that way. It's just an unsaid, unverbal pressure. You're the only one. You're the one that doesn't fit in. Notice everybody else is. Right? And so we want to fit in. We want to be affirmed. And that desire to be affirmed and to fit in and to be liked makes us vulnerable to peer influence. Amen? It's very strong. It's one of the strongest influences in a young person's life, and not even just a young person, in everybody's life. It's one of the reasons why the internet, the way that social media has exploded and just become toxic in many cases, is because of peer influence. It's so strong. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of peer influence from the Message and from the Bible. Because the way that we meet peer pressure, peer influence, is with the Word of God. Because we can experience peer influence that's good. Amen? As I already showed you. But we can also experience it that's bad. And so we have to look at it through the lens of the Word of God. So in the Message, Brother Branham tells us about, he tells on himself. I love that, right? He tells us about mistakes that he made so that we learn from them. And he was telling us, and he was giving us a report about his trip to Africa. And the Lord had told him, you're going to, when you get there, he told him to go meet a certain man, to go to a certain place, and to minister there, to wait for instructions. He gave him very specific instructions. Well, when he gets there, the men that are organizing the whole campaign, that paid to bring him there and set everything up, they said, no. We have our own itinerary. We've already lined up this church and that church, and we've already got an itinerary lined up. Right? You've got to do this. We've sponsored this. We're the ones that brought you here. We're the ones that organized it. And he said, no, but God told me that I'm to go over here. And they said, no, you're going to go do this. Okay. So we very clearly see God's will and peer pressure. Right? That's what it was. These weren't sinners. These weren't worldly people. These were his peers. The closest thing that he had to peers. Other ministers, prominent ministers, men that he respected, men like F.F. Bosworth that were his mentor, that he looked up to. Men like Ern Baxter that helped him and aided him, was his strong right arm. These were his peers. And they were saying, no, you need to go do this. So let's pick that up here in the Message Faith, the Africa Trip Report, paragraph 38. And he raised up and he said, Brother Branham, you're wrong. Now this is Brother Bosworth, F.F. Bosworth, great man of God. He's the one that when he died, he just started shaking hands and meeting people on the other side. What are you dying of? He wasn't dying of anything. It was time to go. So great was his faith. Like I said, he was a mentor to Brother Branham. And he raised up and said, Brother Branham, you're wrong. It's the will of God for you to go that way, the way that the other men were saying. I said, Brother Bosworth, it's not. He said, well, Brother Branham, he said, I read one time where Satan gave, unclear words, a false vision. I said, Brother Bosworth, you're a daddy to me. Yeah. But I said, look, this is not a false vision. This is from God. My honor, my ministry, my reputation, not only mine, but the name of the Lord rests upon it. I said, it's wrong. He said, no. Now, think about Brother Bosworth, the influence that he was under. No, he said, if you go that way, you'll see the exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. I turned around and I looked at Brother Baxter and he was rubbing his eyes. I looked over at Brother Stadscliffe and I thought, then there it is. No matter how close an individual is to you, you can't trust the arm of flesh. I don't care if it's your mother. You remember one time where there was a prophet in the land, another one went down and prophesied and God told him what to do and he said, don't eat or drink. 1 Kings 13. And this prophet sent and told him, the Lord said to come back here, and he minded the prophet instead of God. You know what happened? He lost his life. Both of them prophets, no matter what, or no matter who they are, you do what God tells you to do. Amen. This is even your own mother. Right? So, even someone who is a positive influence on you, it has to be run through the Word of God. It has to line up with the Word of God. Amen? And we have His Scripture. We have His Word. He says, and before I left, while preaching in Shreveport one day, the Holy Spirit fell on me and had said, thus saith the Lord, there is a snare set for you in South Africa. Was anybody at that Shreveport meeting? Let's see your hands. Well, was there anybody at that meeting just before I left? Heard me give that prophecy. All right. I guess there's not nothing just in this little group anyhow, but he says, I didn't know what it was. No, it was among my brethren. He expected the snare to come from somebody else, to come from witch doctors or, you know, some other atheist group or something like that. He says, I didn't know it was going to come from my peers, my brethren. I didn't know it was going to be peer pressure. Now the thing was, he says, we went on, and as soon as we got to Kimberley, so that was they were just going according to the itinerary that the men had set forth. He gave in, and he said, okay, we'll just go with what you brothers have set up, because he couldn't convince them. He says, there was an elderly man there, an old man, a good man. He said, and he said, thousands of people, and the old brother said, no, sir. You're not going to have it anywhere but in my church. And his church would hold about 400 people. About 10, 12, 14,000 people there. And they're going to a church of 400. You can see. Amen? So he's seeing, nope, this isn't the will of God. He says, but yet it had to be that church. Brother Bosworth blew up, shook his hat and said, ridiculous, ridiculous, that's a shame. And I said, that's the exceeding abundantly above all. See? I said, you understand? He said, oh, I never heard of such. And then if we go on in the demonology message, he talks about when he came back, what happened, because God punished him for it. He says, I got a vision wrote out here. I want people to get the benefit of it. It happened in December. I was in the room one morning when the angel of the Lord came in, you see. When I was over there in Africa, I disobeyed God, and I picked up an amoeba. Any man know what an amoeba is? A parasite that nearly kills you. Because I'd done something God told me not to do. How many heard the story of it? I guess some of you's here. I know the folks around the tabernacle heard the story of what happened. God told me to go to a place and to stay away from this place and to go back over to another place. And I let the preachers talk me out of it. Now, preachers are wonderful, he says, and they're my brothers. But you mind what God tells you. That's right. You got one mission. Amen. So the whole point here isn't to say don't listen to preachers. Right? The whole point here is that even the prophet of God could be influenced by peer pressure. It was a lesson he had to learn by experience. And it was painful for him. He nearly died. He contracted that parasite. He went home and they thought he was going to die. God healed him. God saved him. God delivered him. He paid a price for it. And he learned his lesson. And he was tested time after time after time after that. And he stood and he stayed against what the other men tried to pressure him into doing. He stayed with the will of God because of that hard lesson that he learned. So I'm here to tell you tonight, don't go the hard way. Amen? You don't have to go the hard way. Amen? Stay right with the truth. Don't give in to the peer pressure. He had a very good group of peers. But sometimes what we look at as peers, they're not good. Right? They're people that we just run into, people that we work with, or people that we go to school with. That's our peer group. Just works out that way. Don't listen to them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen to the word of God. Listen to the truth.
Amen.
Listen to the preachers that are trying to give you the word of God.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Now, Brother Branham taught in that he tells us about a story that happened in the Old Testament about another prophet. And the word of the Lord came to this man, this prophet, and God told him, he gave him specific instructions. It's just like what happened to Brother Branham. He gave that prophet specific instructions. He said, you go to the king, and you tell the king, thus saith the Lord, and so on and so forth. And he said, and go directly there, come directly back, go the exact same way, come back the same way that you went, and don't eat any bread or drink any water. Just go, deliver the message, come right back. That was God's instruction to him. So that he goes to the king, he gives him the word of the Lord. He heals the king. I think it was his hand or something that was needed healing. Showing, man, this is a real prophet. God had spoke to him the truth. And he does a miracle, he heals the king. And the king says, you know, he repents and all's good. And he's so thankful to the prophet. And he says, rest a while. I've got food and drink. Come, you know, rest. You've taken a journey. Just sit down, relax. You've done your job. Well done. And you know what the prophet did? He said, no. God told me to come and to return immediately the same way. And don't eat or drink. Amen. And that's what I'm going to do. So the king had no influence over him in that way. He said, God, I appreciate, king, what I appreciate. You're trying to help me. You're trying to bless me. You're trying to do something good for me. But that's not God's will for me. Amen? That's a good thing, brother, sister. That's a good response. I appreciate you're trying to help, but God has told me to do this. God's word says this. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to stay with. Amen? So he begins to come back and he starts his journey back. And another prophet hears what happens. And he goes and he meets him on the way. And he tells him, and let's pick it up and read it here in 1 Kings 13. The other prophet has now sought him out. He's on his road back. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Are you the prophet that we heard about? Yep. And he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. This is specifically what the Lord told him not to do. Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Okay? So far, so good. I appreciate, same thing with the king. I appreciate it, but God told me not to do that.
Yeah.
Amen? But you see, he's a peer. The king was not a peer. And so he has a different influence. He said unto him, I am a prophet also. as thou art, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. But you see, I'm a prophet too. We're peers. God told me that you're supposed to come back with me. Exactly the opposite of what God told him. And so he went back with him. And he ate bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and has eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no meat and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, as he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, he saddled for him and asked to wit for the prophet that he brought back. So he got on the donkey and left. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way. So, strange story, right? But it shows you the influence of peer pressure. This man allowed another prophet. He didn't allow the king to pressure him that way. But he allowed another prophet to pressure him into doing something that he knew was wrong. By appealing to, well, God told me. Young ladies, young sisters, if a young man comes up to you and tells you, God told me that you're supposed to marry me. You think of this story. Amen? And you wait for God to tell you who you're supposed to marry. That may be fine for him. Now, young men, don't you try to pull that on any young ladies. Amen? But you see, now we laugh about it, but people fall for that. People allow themselves to be influenced in that way. Well, God told me that you're supposed to. Well, when he tells me that, then I'll do it. Amen. That should be our answer. Amen. But see, there's such a power in that influence. That's why it's so important for us to know God's will. That's why it's so important for us to know God's word. Amen? That's why, you know, in a situation like that, you need to seek out, you know, a voice of a parent or a pastor or someone that can give you. They are uninfluenced. Right? They're not being influenced by the same things you are. Do you see what I mean? If you're not sure, you're in a situation, someone is saying, I should do this or I should do that, and they're influencing you, maybe you don't realize it, but if you ask someone else that's not under that influence, they can then help you. They can give you good advice because they're not under the same influence that you are. They can help you know what God's will is. Amen? So that old prophet, he gathered his body and buried him next to his, in his burying place, next to him. That's strange. That old prophet, he did him wrong, but then honored him at the end. Gave him respect. Amen? We will constantly, brother, sister, be tested in this way. That is part of our experience. And when we're younger, we're not as used to it as when we're older. Right? We're just still learning how to deal with that. But even as we get older, we are always and constantly tested in this way. Now, maybe not to this extreme, right, where a lion's going to come eat you. But we choose what influence that is going to sway us. Now, these are examples of negative influences, right, that we've looked at. Here, several of them. But we can be a positive influence. We can influence one another. Amen? That peer pressure is powerful when it's positive. We see it when we come together. That's part of the reason why God has us in a body. It's positive peer pressure. Right? It's, and I hate to even use the word pressure. We're not pressuring. It's just influence. It's exhortation. It's, now when I see somebody come in that I know that they're going through trials, and I know what's going on in their life, and I see them come in with a smile and worshiping God, it does something for me. It's an influence on me. When I hear the testimonies, when we hear the praise reports, so-and-so, you know, came up for prayer and God healed them, and they had faith and God delivered them. Man, that's an influence. Amen. We look up to people in the church. We should look up to people in the church where God is using them and God is dealing with them, and they're a good example to us. Amen. They have a positive attitude. They have a positive confession. I know they're going through things, but they're positive. They're singing the praises of God anyway. Amen. I want that to be an influence on me. I just let that wash over me. And Lord, I look to that. I honor that. Amen. Those are examples of positive influence. Amen. We don't want our young people influenced by the world. We don't want anybody influenced by the world. We don't want our young sisters influenced by movie stars. Brother Brown talks about young women being influenced by Marilyn Monroe. Well, we've got Marilyn Monroe to the 100th degree. That spirit that was being exhibited in her, just to that in that seed form, now is mature, and there's nakedness and filth and all kinds of debauchery all over the place. Women just exhibiting themselves. Amen? We don't want our sisters to have that as their influence. Amen? It's interesting. I find this interesting, Brother Doug, that in this age, we've actually invented a new word. It's a social media influencer. Right? Like people actually have that as their job title. I'm an influencer. But you know what? It's true. What they're doing is influencing an entire generation. What do you do? Well, I get on Instagram or I get on TikTok and I influence people to think certain ways or to do certain things. Amen? And we have to choose to push that away. To block that out. To say, I don't want that stuff. I don't want to be influenced by that stuff. That's of Satan. That's Satan's Eden. But isn't it amazing that they've actually put a title on it? I'm an Instagram influencer. Amen? Sex appeal to sell their souls. Amen? Or you have ungodly friends or ungodly schoolmates, and they're under that influence. And so they try to influence you because they are under that influence. You don't even have to go to Instagram or TikTok and be influenced by them directly. You just be influenced by somebody who is. Amen. No, we want them to be influenced by godly women, godly men, families in church, living well-ordered lives according to the scriptures. I was interested in this whole idea of media, of social media influencers. So I looked up, like, what are the top, you know, they do it by follower count, right? Who has the most followers? And they actually have a chart. Like, you can look it up. Who has the most followers in, like, Instagram or TikTok or whatever? All right, so of all of the top influencers, There's a lot of musicians, as you would expect, right? There's several actors and actresses and stuff. But there's a whole group of people that's just called media personalities. What in the world is a media personality? That's a person that has nothing to offer society. Yeah. I mean, they're not an actor. They're not a musician. Right? They're not an athlete. Right? You see all these others, athletes and, you know, all these, they actually do something. And then there's media personality. This is your Kardashians and, you know, these types, right? They have zero to offer society. But yet they are influential with nothing to offer. All they're selling is sex. Amen? Sex appeal. All they're selling is worldliness. They're trying to sell their makeup line. Well, who are they? Why should we listen to them? What have you done in your life? Nothing? Great, you got 10 million followers on Instagram for doing nothing. No claim to anything important. What they are doing is just getting attention. They will do anything that they can do to get attention. And when they get attention, people pay attention to them, and people are influenced. Because the more people that pay attention, the more people go, well, people are paying attention. So maybe I should pay attention too. And the more people that say that say, well, look at these people who are paying attention. Maybe we need to pay attention. And what are they all paying attention to? Nothing. It's ridiculous. Don't allow them to influence you. Look to a godly mother or a godly father that's actually doing right. That's actually headed somewhere. They have an inheritance. A godly inheritance. A kingdom. Amen. We have life eternal. What does an influencer have? Nothing. You know what? If they canceled their little Instagram account or something, like literally deleted their account, what would they have? Nothing. They have nothing. Attention. And they'll sell their soul for attention. Don't sell your soul to give them attention. Amen. I just have a couple more quotes. We'll read these and we'll just finish up here. This is from Influence Over Another. He says, how God blesses a man that will be true to the word of God. Now, he may not be very popular, but he'll be blessed. Amen. Amen. Would you rather be blessed or popular? I'd rather be blessed. And you know what? You are popular in heaven. He'll be blessed. And now, people have to take your choice, whether you want to act like the rest of the fellows or whether you want to be blessed of God. Just take your choice. If you're going to live like the rest of them, you'll be blessed of them. But you turn all your desires to God and you'll be blessed of God. So you have to choose this day who you will serve, as the prophet said. Always remember thy creator first, always. Amen. And just one more quote here from the message, the Message Life. He says, a brother was testifying to me this morning. He was called to the ministry when he was a little boy. So he was just a little boy, and he was already felt the call of God. And he says, and then he fell. He went out in the world. But then he came back with more of a call to preach than ever before. You see what it was? When he became a Christian, he got in the wrong environment. He had a call on his life. Amen? So God was dealing with him just as a young man, but you see what happened, what his mistake was. He said he got in the wrong environment, see? And that environment influenced him. You see, and you just keep holding around with that kind of environment, it'll influence you. I hope you're reading between the lines of what I'm saying. It influences you in that environment. The first thing you know, you become part of that environment. You go into it. And just like a good, clean man that's clean and moral, and he begins to associate with a bunch of people who's not, You take up the spirit of that. Everything is governed by a spirit. Nations are governed by a spirit. When I go into different nations, I see the way they act and do, and you can see that it's a spirit on the nation. So you can't help it. You get into an environment, you are affected by that environment. I can tell you by some experiences that I had. So when I was when I went off to college, they required all the freshmen, first year college students, to live in the dorms, the college I went to. So I had to live in the dormitory. Right, there was an environment there, and it wasn't a good one. I'll tell you that. They were pretty much partying all the time. I think my roommate went to like one class the whole semester. I mean, it was terrible. Right. I mean, they were up, people on my floor in my area, you know, two doors down was the pot room, and the room next was the game room, and then there was the guitar playing room and everything but studying rooms. Well, how many people do you think in that area got good grades? No matter how, and I wanted to get good grades. I was trying hard. But the environment was working against me. Right? It was very difficult. I made it through that first semester. A lot of them didn't. A lot of them packed and headed home. Then the next year, I went with some other guys, and we lived in a house that I thought would be a better environment. There was some that I knew that were good students, and I'm thinking, all right, this is going to be better. Well, it turns out that they were just kind of, you know, they were okay students, but they were kind of just interested in just hanging out and partying. Great. I went from this to this. Again, a hard environment, right? You're affected by the environment. You can try and push out as much as you want, but I just needed to not be there. The next year, I finally found some Christians. And, you know, they were all different stripes of Christianity, but they were Christians, right? And they were good students. And guess what? I got the best grades I had ever gotten because of my environment. I didn't change. My desire to do well in school didn't change. But my environment, it became more conducive to that. Amen? You're influenced by your environment. I wanted a positive environment that to study and to work hard and where we would encourage each other. He was in the same apartment as I am. We didn't share a room, but he was in another room, and he was a great student. Man, we had classes together, and we were competitive, and we competed against each other. I never got such good grades. Why? Because of the influence that we had on one another. I was able to finally seek out someone that it actually changed my whole experience in college by having the right influence around me. And it is true, brother, sister, that if you want to be good at something, hang around people that are good at it. That's just a natural law. You want to learn how to, if you want to be a good musician, guess what? Hang around musicians. You want to be a good athlete? Hang around athletes. You want to be good at math? Hang around the nerds that like math. You'll speak their language. You want to be good at chess? Join the chess club. You may not be good at it, but eventually you will be. You'll get better just being in that environment. And oh, that's why we come to church, isn't it? Amen. It's just a natural law. You want to be a good Christian? You be around Christians. Amen. I want to be the best Christian I can be. So why are you hanging out at the bar on Sunday? That doesn't make sense, does it? I just want to stay home. No. If you are really honest about it, you want to serve God with all your heart, you're going to do everything you can. I want to be around people that are speaking that language. I want to be around people that are talking about God, that are singing about God, that have the same testimony as me, that can encourage me and provoke me to good works. I want to be around people that are a positive influence on me. That's how you excel in any natural pursuit. And it's the truth with spiritual things as well. In atmosphere is important. We are a creator of atmospheres. You create an atmosphere around you. Your words create an atmosphere. You can change the atmosphere. You affect others by the atmosphere that you create. You influence each other by creating an atmosphere. Amen. When you see your brother or your sister and they're down, they're downhearted, they had a rough day. Well, you can either kick them while they're down, right? Because they're your brother or your sister and they deserve it. Or you can change their day. You can lift them up. You can be an influence on them. You can encourage them. Amen? If you know that another young person is struggling, you can be an encouragement to them. You can be a good influence on them. Don't give in to those. Don't give in to them. Don't listen to those voices. Don't listen to what they're saying. Don't worry about that. Amen? We love you. We care. The people that matter care about you. Don't listen. Don't listen to the bullies. Don't listen to the peer pressure. But look, brother, sister, I could tell that. I could say that to a young person, and it won't have nearly effect that it will with one to another. You can affect each other 10 times as much as I can affect one of you. Amen. I've taken enough time. Let's read some scriptures. I've got a little short list of scriptures. I just want to go through these and then we'll close. Let's stand tonight. We'll just read these together. You love the Lord?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now that's hard King James English, so let's read it in the Amplified. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company. The people that you hang around with influence your manners or morals. Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Don't hang around somebody who's angry or evil. Don't be around those people because it'll rub off on you. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You can help each other. You can strengthen each other. You can build each other up. Iron sharpening iron means that as we walk together. Amen? We help each other get stronger. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. This is what I was just telling you. If you want to be something, you hang around people that are good at it, right? If you want to be a wise man, hang around wise people. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Galatians 5:7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Notice, so this is Paul, and they're speaking about, he's correcting the Galatians, right? Because they have been influenced by people teaching wrong doctrine. And notice what he says. You have run well. You started out good, but somebody hindered you. You let someone, he says, who? Not what, not some circumstance, not something that you went through at work. It was somebody you allowed influence you. Who did this? Who hindered you? that you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calls you. In other words, that didn't come from those that brought you the gospel. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you allow it a little bit of space in your life, it will slowly take over. Worldliness is that way. Influence is that way. If you allow it in your life, you allow those Instagram influencers to have a little bit of influence in your life, it'll push its way. The spirit behind that will kick the doors down into your life. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, we've quoted this many times, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and, listen to this, see in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is saying, let me be an influence. Let me be an example. We should be able to say that, brothers and sisters, right? We should be able to say that. Look, if you're struggling, emulate me. Woo. Amen? Look, the things that I've received and heard and seen in me, do those things. And be a positive influence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, this is our last one here. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Consider one another to provoke. Amen. To influence. To love and to good works. To push each other along. You need a little push? Let's go. Provoke. Come on. Don't be satisfied with where you are. You know? Smile a little. Whatever is needful in the situation. Somebody starts complaining, say, don't say that. I'm going to provoke you to good works right now. Be positive. Talk about the blessings. That's provoking one another to good works. Speaking about the word. I know you had a tough day and I know it doesn't look good, but you know you're a child of God. And God's word says this about you. Provoke to good works. Provoke. Provoke to love and good works. And there it is, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So forsaking ourselves together one another because we need the influence on each other. Exhorting one another. And so much more. See, we don't want to leave that part out. Sometimes we quote, not forsaking the assembling selves together as the manner of some is, and the so much more as you see the day approaching. Don't leave out the exhorting one another. That's not just Brother Doug's job. Amen? Exhort one another. So, well, how do I do that? Stop listening to gossip. Somebody starts to gossip, you say, whoop, whoop. Yep. Let me provoke you to good works. Amen? Exhort one another. You may not know it, but you're about to gossip. Maybe you didn't realize it. Amen? I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear evil things about my brothers or sister. I don't want to hear criticism about the church. I don't want to hear criticism about the ministry. I don't want to hear evil reports. I want to exhort one another to love and good works. If we create that kind of atmosphere, young people, if you create that kind of atmosphere in your life, I guarantee you people will want to be around you. People will want to be your friend. You won't have to go looking for friends. If you're positive and you lift up people around you, your friend people will come. Amen? But don't let them influence you. You stay who God made you to be. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with what you've been taught. Amen? Obey God's word and put it first. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. I want us to just take a moment as the word's gone forth, and especially our young people, but anyone, of course, Maybe you've been allowing the world to influence you. Maybe you've been allowing things in your life that ought not to be. Now is the time to turn the tables. Open your eyes and see, wow, I didn't realize that thing had such an influence in my life. But now God has shown it to me. I didn't realize. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about that I was letting that person or letting that voice, letting that spirit, letting that worldliness, that musical influence, whatever it may be, that's slowly been pushing you, driving you, influencing your life. Maybe you're just now realizing it. I encourage you tonight, if that's you, just turn. The word repent means to go the other direction. Just reject it. Say, I'm not going to be influenced by that anymore. God, help me. You just pray with me. Lord, help me to overcome that thing. Help me to reject the influence of the wicked world that I live in. Friends, temptations of this life. If that's you tonight, you repent of that and you turn away from it. It's leading you to condemnation. It's leading you to death. This is a serious matter tonight. If you continue to follow the path of those worldly temptations, those worldly influences, you will end up a shipwreck. You will pay a price. I encourage you tonight to reject that. Turn away from those things. You just pray, oh God, help me. Help me, Lord. Maybe you've been pushing your parents away. It happens, you know, like I said, when you get to your teen years, you start to push away from the influence of your parents. And you start listening to your peers and other voices. Just recognize they're there to help you. You reaffirm, Lord, I wanna obey my parents. I wanna reverence my parents. I want to let them to continue to be an influence in my life. I want them to have a bigger voice than worldly classmates or worldly friends. Lord, as we all just bow our heads tonight, I pray that you just move in the hearts, Lord, of your children, each one, Father. Lord, I just deliver this, Lord, as you put on my heart. Lord, I pray that it would find some good ground tonight, Lord, that there would be someone that would respond to your word, someone that would say, yes, I know I've allowed the wrong things to influence me, and I want to change, I want to turn from those things. Father, I pray that they would just respond to that, to your word, Lord. That they would repent of that, Lord. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I just lost sight of what's real and what's good for me. Lord, I pray that you'd help them, each one. Father, I pray for our young people, Lord, right now, Lord. I pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just anoint their lives with power, Lord. With clear vision, Lord, that they would be able to see the tricks of the enemy. That they would be able to see clearly the influence that the enemy is trying to exert on their lives. The different paths, the different people, the different ways that he tries to infiltrate their lives, to get in, to draw them astray, Father. I pray that you give them clear vision on that. Know that we're not saying these things and we don't bring them to church to harm them. We're trying to help them. We're trying to protect them. We're trying to keep them from heartbreak and pain. We're trying to bless them, Lord. And Father, I pray that they would just surrender to you, Lord. that they would just give up, Lord. Surrender completely, Father, their lives in every way. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to be a good influence on each other, Lord, and everyone that they come in contact with, Father. Oh, God, you're so good. Lord, I pray that you would just move now in every heart and every life, Father. Lord, as we just water you, the word with the praise and the music, Father, may that word have its perfect work in every heart. How we thank you, Lord. How we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now don't just go out and not respond to that. Amen. Even if you don't have to come up to an altar or something if you don't want to. If you can, of course. But examine your lives. Look at what you're allowing to influence you. Go through it. Make a full catalog in your mind, in your heart. What do I allow to influence me? And you test it. Is this according to God's word? Is this godly? Is this godly? And if it's not, kick it out. Amen? But if you want to come up for prayer, we certainly invite you to do that. That's what we're here for tonight. But we appreciate the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's just sing that song. Look on him tonight. Just turn your